Good morning. It's good to see you guys. We're going to pray here in just a second. Continue to pray. Just appreciate what Daniel was sharing. But I want to share two things that were inspiring in my Sunday school class as I was listening. First one, a guy was talking about his life, and he said he grew up a pastor's kid, and he said he knew the right thing. He said, but he didn't really listen to it. And he said, and so for 40 years, there was this life of addiction and crime. And he just had so much regret. But it doesn't end in regret, right? When Jesus gets involved, nobody's story ends with regret, right? And then he said, but I'm listening now, right? And that's about as high a point as any of us can get with Jesus, right? That's how Jesus defines Christians in John 10. He says, they're my sheep. They listen to me and they follow me, right? So that's what it's about. All of us have got to check in and say, am I really listening? Am I really following? The other person that was inspiring to me, he didn't share with the whole class. He just shared at my table. And he talked about, he was been here for a couple weeks. And he talked about hearing someone else's testimony and this powerful experience that they had with God. And he shared his hunger to have his own experience with God. And then he started to tell me how God had blessed him with another person, had given him shoes, another person had given him another article of clothing. He'd gotten a bag of groceries with his name on it. And all these different people who had showed him love and how excited he was to be here. And I just, we prayed as a table because I knew we were getting ready to do Lord's Supper at the end of church today. And you're like, here you go, man. Like, let's pray for you to have this experience with God today. Because that's what the Lord's Supper is about. It's about saying, I want Jesus inside of me in a way he's not been before. And I want to live for him, right? So that sort of stuff happened this morning. And if your heart's anywhere reminds that, you're thinking, I want to listen to God, and I want to experience God, then you're in the right spot. And I want us to pray. Let's open up. Jesus, we believe in you. We believe you are alive and all-powerful. And Jesus, today we want to listen to you, and Jesus, we want to experience you. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we're in this series, we're going through John slow, right? Why are we going so slow through John? It's because here in Maywood, we've got these two vision passages. One of them says that our goal is to be Jesus' fullness together and that we'll get there when we're unified in our knowledge of him and complete in our faith in him. So we're spending a real slow look through John to try to get to really know Jesus together. Because if we really know Jesus together as a group, we're going to be like Jesus, right? That's how it works. The more you know Jesus, the more you like him. Well, something that was kind of scary about what that first story I told you, that first man shared, was he knew up here the right facts, right? But it didn't set his life free. And that's a scary thing. Sometimes we think, oh, if I know the answer, then I'm good. But as we go through life, we know there's, when you think about solving a problem or becoming better, we know that the answer is like not even close to half of it, right? Getting your actions to change takes a lot more than just like the right stuff up here, right? Sometimes we hear about stuff, we read about stuff, and we think that we know it. And if you're here today and you're willing to go on a little bit of a trip with me, I think a lot of us, we've read something about God, we've heard something about God, and we think that we know what there is to know about God. But I want to tell you some stories to get us somewhere. So let's show these next picture. Stories I think will help us get to this better understanding of God. So this is Buffalo. My dad and I took a trip up to South Dakota when I was in my 20s. We got to see a lot of buffalo up close. Seeing the picture is probably not transforming for anybody in the room, right? We've all seen pictures of buffalo before. When I was a kid growing up, I heard about buffalo. You know, you read the little history books and you see the little pictures of like people with the Winchesters or whatever, and you know, just like the field of carcasses or whatever, and how buffalo almost got extinct, and you know, learn that lesson. And as a kid growing up, when I heard about buffalo, and even as a young adult, if I had an emotion, I don't think there probably typically was a strong emotion, but if I had an emotion, it was of pity, right? It's like, oh yeah, the buffalo story. Like, that's a sad story about how we just like destroyed something, right? That's pretty much what I thought about buffalo. Also, when I was a kid, in the town that I lived in, on the outskirts of the town, there was this buffalo farm. I put it kind of in quotes, because I went there and you saw what looked like these buffalo, but came to learn later as an adult that a lot of that stuff, like if you get like a buffalo burger or whatever at like a carnival or whatever, like it might be kind of hairy like a buffalo, but it's small like a cow, if that makes sense. Like there's more cat, there's more just like regular domestic cow in that than there is like wild buffalo, right? There's a lot of detail about buffalo. Why am I telling you all this? Well, because when my dad and I were in South Dakota, there's buffalo all over the place in the Badlands and these other parks we were in. We're driving in this van, and we're sitting up kind of high. And one of the first buffalo we come up to is right next to the road. And I remember, I can't remember which side of the van I'm in, but I remember the eye of the buffalo is like this gigantic thing, right? It's huge. And it's like eye level with me when I'm in the van, right? It's like way, way, way bigger than I thought it was going to be. Because, like, I mean, these are the same buffalo. Like, this is a picture I took the same trip. It just don't look that big in pictures, right? When it's right next to your van, you realize, like, if this thing got mad, like, I think it could just knock the van off the road, right? Like, it's just so much bigger than I thought it was going to be. And even talking to you guys right now, it's kind of funny to hear it, but on the inside, there's probably no change in you, right? But for me in that moment, up until that point, when I thought of buffalo, I pitied buffalo, right? When I actually saw a real buffalo, the primary emotion I was feeling was intimidation, right? Of like, I kind of want to get a little bit further away from this thing. Can you think of emotions that are further, right, than pity and intimidation? And that's about as far away from each other as you can get, right? Pity is all about, like, I have all the power and, like, poor little buffalo, right? Intimidation, right, has this idea of, like, running away, right? What was the difference? Nothing about the buffalo changed at all. What changed is, like, I actually saw a real one. So here's the scary thing for us today is I think some of us, when we think about God, we have emotions that are closer to pity. Maybe not exactly pity, but you show up to church out of some sort of kind of nagging guilt, and you just kind of have this feeling of like, I should give a little bit to that, to God, this like vague picture, right? I should do a little bit, right? It's just this small guilt is what a lot of people's dynamic towards God is. And if we ever got anywhere close to the true, almighty, powerful God, our emotions would instantly change from just this very small, maybe I'll give him a little bit guilt, to this intimidation, or maybe give him everything, right? This either run away and hide or worship, right? Which is about as far away from small little guilt as you can get, right? And so the thing we got to ask ourselves is like, are we really seeing God Almighty? Or have we just read some stuff and seen some stuff on the outskirts of town that said it was real, but it didn't really change us? So we're going to read this passage. This passage is Jesus talking here, and it is intense stuff, right? He's talking to this crowd. If you've been with us the last few weeks, he's talking to this crowd of people that he fed miraculously, but we're going to pick it up in John chapter 6, verse 41. So we can go to this next slide. John 6, verse 41. And there's a lot in these verses, and I'm going to kind of hit a little bit of highlights as we go. If you're a note taker, you got those little notepads in front of you, I'm going to throw out some little questions that you could maybe reflect on later, but we're going to zero in on this idea of one, the only one, okay? Starting verse 41, Jesus has been talking about whoever believes in him is going to have eternal life. And he's talking about coming down from heaven. He said a whole bunch. We saw some of that last week. But verse 41, it says that this, the Jews there began to grumble about Jesus because Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? So if you're a note taker, you might want to be like, what little fact from my past makes me offended by the claims of Jesus, right? Like, oh, I know better than that, you know? Maybe you got some chip on your shoulder from your past, or you think you know better, and so you're like, I'm going to reject something that Jesus said. Because that's what they're saying. They're saying, Jesus didn't come from heaven. I know his mom, right? They're pushing him away. Here's what Jesus says. Maybe somebody, this is all you need today. Stop grumbling amongst yourselves. That's what Jesus says. Some people just need to hear that. You know, maybe you're arguing over dishes at the Maple House or something, and you just need to stop grumbling, right? But Jesus says, based on this idea, what you're upset about is distracting you from what he wants to share. Here's what it is in verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father, this is talking about God Almighty, Jesus' Father, unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It's kind of a recap of what we saw last week. Jesus is saying, if God brings you to me, I'll never lose you. Jesus is saying you can trust, even God can trust Jesus to hold on to you. Right? That's verse 44. That's a big promise. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets, here he quotes Isaiah, they will all be taught by God. If you go back and read that chapter in Isaiah, it's this very positive chapter about God doing all sorts of good stuff. If you know the history here with Jesus' time, things were not very good for those people. But Jesus is saying, I'm fulfilling that Isaiah passage right now. God's here in your midst teaching you. Jesus is claiming that divinity. And it wasn't in the way they expected. If you're a note taker, maybe you're thinking like, how has Jesus showed up in a way I didn't expect? Maybe I've misread something in the Bible and it made me miss Jesus. You know, so maybe think on that. It says, everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. Jesus is throwing out so many big statements and they're so volatile. If you ever watch politicians nowadays, they typically like almost say nothing, you know, like they don't actually say real offensive stuff. Jesus is just saying so much offensive stuff, like we don't, or offensive is depending on who you are, but Jesus is making bold claims. He is not saying nothing. He is saying a whole lot. Right here he's saying, if you have ever learned from God, then you'll come to me. There's a lot of religions. There's a lot of people who say, I've had a spiritual experience. I've learned from God. If they refuse to come to Jesus, then Jesus is at odds with that statement. They haven't really learned from God if they refuse Jesus when he shows up. That's a big statement. It might not offend everybody right here at Maywood Baptist. It's a very offensive statement, though, right? This idea that everybody who really listens to God and they're going to accept Jesus when he shows up. We're going to keep going. Verse 46. This is where we're going to come back to and zoom in. It says, no one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I'm going to keep reading because we're going to come back to 46 and focus in. It says, very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. How do you have eternal life? You believe Jesus. You put your trust in Jesus. You lean on him with your life. here's Jesus talking again. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. There's a lot said there. Jesus is saying this spectacular miracle of God's provision to the people of God in Exodus, to their forefathers, Jesus is saying, I'm better than that. The best anybody has experienced with God is not as good as Jesus. God taking care of your every daily need is not as good as Jesus in your life. That's what Jesus is claiming here. He's saying, I'm more than just meeting your needs. I'm more than just even giving you a community. I'm more than that. Also, just while we're throwing stuff out, he says, anyone may eat and not die. Every single one of us, if we got honest, there's somebody that we probably have a resentment against, right? Unless you've really done your inventory just in the last 2 minutes or something. Like, there's probably somebody that if they tripped and fell on their face, or if they spilled something on themselves, or if they got a demotion at work or whatever, you would kind of have a little piece of your heart that would be happy that they finally got what they deserved, right? Or they finally got put in their place. Jesus is at odds with that idea, because Jesus is saying anybody is welcome to me, is welcome to the best. A lot of our resentments center on this idea of wanting to see others hurt in some way, thinking they don't deserve what's best. And Jesus here is inviting everybody to his table. Do you ever think about that? Like, ever think about, like, you're sitting down at the table of God, and in your present state, the first thing that might run through your heart is resentment about, like, why is that person here? That's, I mean, we need some help, right? That should not be the first thought running through our heart. But that's, unfortunately, we need some help on that, right? Anybody may eat and not die. Verse 51, this is going to be our last verse. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. When we get to the Lord's Supper today, we're going to talk about that verse. There's a lot happening in this. Jesus is making a lot of claims about who he is. But I want to go back to this verse 46 about the only one. He says, no one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. This statement from Jesus has just like captured me this whole week. Jesus says, I'm the only one who's seen God. If you look through the Old Testament, you see these images of like Elijah stands in God's presence. The priests are called to stand in God's presence. There's this scene in Luke chapter 1 where John the Baptist's dad is talking to Gabriel, the super powerful angel, and you know, Zechariah throws out some like doubt about what he just said. And Gabriel, in like angel form of like, I wonder what tone he said this in, but it doesn't sound happy. He says, like, I stand. He's like, I'm Gabriel, and I stand in God's presence. And you're not going to talk again until this happens, right? I mean, it's like this, listen to who you're talking to. I stand in God's presence. That's how he defines himself. He defines his authority by his connection to God. But Jesus here is taking higher authority than anybody else, right? He's saying, I'm the only one that has seen the Father. It's this big statement. What does it mean that Jesus is the only one that has that sort of connection with God? Have you ever known somebody for a long time and you thought you had them figured out? And then, whether it's positive or negative, you suddenly realize like, oh, now I see. They're a lot different than I expected. Maybe they help you in a way that you never expected, or maybe they betray you in a way that you never expected, right? But suddenly you're like, oh, I didn't actually know that person, even though they've been right next to me for so long. Jesus here is saying between him and God, there's this connection that nobody else has. Here's the thing about God and seeing God, or seeing Jesus. Jesus, obviously, we believe. that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we believe this idea that God is one and that God is three. It's hard for us to understand, but here you see some of that between the God the Father, and the Son, and how they're working together. But if I can borrow from 1 John chapter 3 for just a minute, it talks about when we fully see Jesus as he is, then we'll be like Jesus. We will be transformed into this sinless perfection because of our experience of Jesus. Like, fully seeing him is what changes us. And maybe you've had tastes of this. If you've been trying to follow Jesus for a little while, I bet there's been a moment where you were worshiping or you're reading your Bible or something was going on and you saw Jesus more fully than you ever had before. And it was like you just changed. Maybe anger just dropped off of you, or lust just dropped off of you, or there was a new peace you hadn't experienced before. It was like a transformation, right? And that's because you caught a glimpse of Jesus, and it shook part of you. It changed part of you. 1 John is telling us that if you fully look at Jesus, you're going to be fully like Jesus. It's a perfecting thing. God's presence is a consuming fire, right? It will change everything in us that's not like him. And so when Jesus says, I fully see the Father, he's saying that I'm able to fully look at God and be who I am. Jesus is that perfect, right? So remember that story about the buffalo? It's strange. This is a really strange little connection here. This thing with the van, it made me, and it went from pitied to intimidated, but honestly, like, we just kept driving and we kept doing what we were going to do. So it didn't actually transform anything in me other than just some emotion, right? So when I first started the story with, like, the pity, that was just in my head, right? When I got to the intimidation, my heart had changed, but my feet still hadn't changed, right? I hadn't changed any of my actions. Think about yourself right now with Jesus. Have you just heard about Jesus and there's some stuff in your head, but it hasn't really changed your heart? Or have you heard some stuff about Jesus and then you had some sort of experience up close where your heart got different, right? That's different altogether, right? Let's go to this next picture, though. I want to tell you one more buffalo story, okay? Go to the next picture too. So this was a few days later, and most of the herds are female. There's some males running around, but the males, for the most part, stay away from the herd. And I think it was springtime. I can't remember for sure, but I remember, like, the males were in the kind of mode of, like, getting ready to fight and pretty aggressive. And, like, we'd been told by lots of people, like, don't get close to the males, right? So my dad and I went on this super long hike, the longest hike of our trip. Most of it was like prairie, and it was pretty, but towards the end, it got even prettier. It was kind of this, like, not really a canyon, but kind of like two big hills coming together. You're walking through this little path in the woods. And we had walked, it was like a 7-mile hike or something. We had walked like 5 miles of it, 6 miles of it, like most of it. When suddenly we see this guy in the woods up ahead of us, right? And the path is not very big. Even from the part you could walk on between the hills was probably about as wide as this room. And back where, like, Doug Coolis is, like, there's that, like, male buffalo. It wasn't super far away from us. So my dad and I have this decision to make. Like, he doesn't care about us, it doesn't seem like. But it's like, do we walk over here, like, try to go around him? Because if he does care about us, you know, I mean, there's trees to climb, but then, like, what do? Just stay in a tree for, like, hours, you know? Like, so here's what happened. We talked about it for a little bit, and then rather than walking around them and going, like, 1 more mile back to our van, we walked, like, 6 miles the other direction to get back to our van, right? Because that's where we're at, you know? Like, I had a pocket knife on me. Like, what was I going to do, you know, to a buffalo, you know? Like, so it's one thing to know a little bit in your head and not even have the right emotions. It's another thing to have had an experience, but I was still in my van, right? It's a whole nother thing to be on his turf. And it made me change my direction, right? It got into my feet. Where are you with Jesus? Have you just heard about him? The scariest one to me is the one who's had some sort of experience, but they haven't responded to it. Right? So I don't have some horrible story about my dad getting gored or something like that, right? Like we ignored it and like this is what happened, right? And I'm glad for that, right? And I think for anybody who's ever met Jesus and said, man, Jesus really wanted me to break up with that girl. Or Jesus really wanted me to talk to somebody else about that thing I'm ashamed of. Or Jesus really wanted me to have the humility to say I was wrong. Whatever it might be, I don't think any, I've never heard somebody be like, man, Jesus really convicted me of something and I had the guts, the courage to be faithful and I regret it. I've never heard that testimony, right? I've heard a whole lot of testimonies about like, I messed up and I'm so glad for God's grace and I'm happy for that. I know a lot of people who I mess up and now they're dead. You know, like I know people like that too, you know, like, but I don't have any of the, my feet followed what my heart had experienced with God, and I regret it. I don't know any of those stories, right? So, man, we are running short on time. I need you to watch closer on our clock. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up, and we're going to hit this kind of quickly on the last verse here. But here's our experience that we're going to have today, is this passage is a strange one, right? Jesus has got this multitude of people around him, and he suddenly starts talking about, like, eat my flesh, drink my blood. People don't understand it. What we're coming to right in this moment is what I would call, like, a mystical experience. If you're not familiar with that word, it's like this thing that maybe you can't fully wrap your head around it, but there's something powerful here that's spiritual that you can open up to if you want to. So we're going to sing a song as a congregation. The point of singing this song, though, is to say, I want Jesus inside of me. I want to live on Jesus. Jesus invites us to live on him. He says, I'm going to give you my body. I'm going to give you my blood. Live on me. The same way you take food into you, and it's your energy, but it's also your very self. Jesus wants to be our energy. He wants to be our very self. So prepare your heart in this time. And here's something I want to tell you too. Last thought before Daniel and the worship team leads us. Some of you are in this room today and you know what Jesus wants. You know he wants you to change something. It's better not to eat and drink this if you don't want to change. When you eat and drink this, it's not saying I'll be perfect forever, but what you're saying is, Jesus, I'm yours. Please help me to do the next right thing. Please help me to be who you want me to be. You're really bringing your heart and saying, Jesus, I want you when you do this. Okay, let's worship.
Like a woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, millions in this.
You guys, if you would all stand with me, we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. And hopefully all around you, you're able to grab one of these. If you don't have one, we've got a few up front. We can run to you if you stick your hand up. Thank you, guys. So normally when we do this, there's some different passages we read, but today we're going to stay in John chapter 6. And so here's what Jesus said in verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Jesus doesn't specifically talk about his blood in the passage we read today. He does in other places, but he talks about it being poured out for us. But let's reflect on what he did say in verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus, I thank you that you gave us more than we would ever ask or imagine. We came to you, Jesus, because we wanted a little bit of help. But Jesus, you wanted to bring us into that amazing relationship that you have with God. And Jesus, I pray that we would live off of what you have given us. Help us to carry your death in our bodies. And I pray your spirit would live your life through us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.